We hear this morning from St. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, engaging in using athletic imagery to get a spiritual point across. And as I've reflected this week, I've realized something. This Sunday is a first in my ordained ministry. This is the first time that I'm actually going to use athletics as an imagery in a sermon. I suspect this is because growing up Baptist, I heard about sports every week, whether it was relevant or not. But the text demands it on this day. We know all about the Olympics, and indeed we are preparing for them yet again. But Corinth was an incredibly interesting context in the ancient world. You may not know that Corinth had the Isthmian Games, the second most important games, second only to the Olympics. Paul is writing to a gathering of Christians in a city in which every 2 years they see the finest athletes from around the known world come. People who have beaten their bodies into submission. People who know every morsel that has gone into their mouth and track every exercise they have done. But Corinth wasn't only known for its athletic games. It was also a city renowned for the pleasures of the flesh. Indeed, we remember that Paul also wrote to the same group of Christians, chastising them for their fatness, for the rich feasting in front of the poor during the agape meal that was coupled with the Holy Eucharist in the early church. So Paul is writing to people that are on the one hand incredibly interested and obsessed with athletic performance, but on the other hand are fat and lazy. I hope this isn't hitting too close to home already. He's writing to people who know what it means to be disciplined, who have witnessed it, who have seen these great human feats. People come from around the world to earn a crown that will wither away in days, and also to Christians who are not in control of their own bodies. The contrast is deafening, isn't it? Now, this Sunday is what we traditionally call Sexagesima Sunday. We are preparing for our Lenten disciplines, the discipline that will come very soon. And our reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians provides us with an occasion to begin to think even now how we will spend this upcoming Lent, how we will prepare ourselves, how we may exercise self-control, how we may indeed pummel our bodies and subdue them. We ought to think now about how it is that we intend to grow, how we intend to strive after the prize in this coming Lent. So what is this about running to obtain the prize? Now, in an athletic contest, we know that all the runners compete and one will win. We are called to run in a way that we may obtain the prize. The prize, of course, for us is eternal, unimpaired, perfect communion with God. It is a relationship into which God has called each of us. That is, we are called to strive after a prize that God has given to us. We are to run as those called to the prize, as Calvin would say. Calvin didn't often have many nice things to say about portions of Scripture that could be twisted to deal with works. But in this text, he found hope. He found promise that we are to run as those who are destined for the prize. God has given us a relationship with him, and we are to run disciplined lives as those who are chasing after the God who has called us into a relationship with himself. We run after the prize somehow without worrying about whether or not we shall attain to it, for we attain to the prize by the grace of God. John Wesley, reading this same text, focused on the joy in living as God has called us to live. God tells us certain things that are true about ourselves, even though the world disagrees with this. We are people that have been called out. We are people that are called to be different. We are people called to strive after the God who has called us to himself. And this is a joyous task indeed. What other way should Christians live than as lives that bear witness to the eternal truth that that we are not obsessed with the things of this world, but we are destined for a higher calling. We are destined to live our lives in the presence of God. And as we talk about running to obtain the prize of bliss and communion with God, we always remember that though works do not save us, which is certainly not what we are suggesting this day, saved people do works. If you are in relationship with God, your life will be characterized by good works. This is a very different thing than saying your works will save you. But if God has called you and has redeemed you, your life must be marked by good works. We are not the ones earning the prize, but we are called to live as those that God has called to himself. God calls us to run our lives as a disciplined race, chasing after him, cooperating with him in the work he calls us to do. This is not merit that accrues to ourselves, but it is the right living out of a relationship with God. So we are to run as to obtain a prize. And we know every athlete exercises self-control in all things. We have seen these people that know every calorie they eat, that know every bit of energy they expend in working out. People who spend their lives, years upon years upon years, in some cases training, to run for only a few minutes, a few moments in the Olympics. To spend all this effort to race for the prize, even just once. We are called to the virtue of moderation, to self-control, to exercise control over our own bodies. Paul is very clear, we are not to be slaves to our own appetites, as the Corinthians were renowned for being. This does not mean our appetites are bad by any means. If we did not have the appetite to eat, we would starve. If there was no appetite for sex, none of us would be here. God made our appetites, but we are not animals. God calls us to rule over our appetites, to bring our appetites into submission, to be in control of our own bodies. Paul does not mince words here. I pommel my body and subdue it. Now here we do well to remember this ancient Hebrew construct that Paul is pulling out here as well. Talking about flesh and spirit often gets muddled. We're not talking about bodies being bad and disembodied spirits being good. Going back to the Old Testament, flesh is used to describe following our own instincts, our own desires, our baser desires. And spirit is living life in accordance with what God calls us to do. To choose spirit over flesh is not to demonize the flesh that our Lord took on to redeem, but it is to acknowledge that without God and without our willing to be in relationship with him, we are slaves to our own appetites. God calls us to a higher standard than the animals. We are called to govern our appetites, to rule over them, to be in control, to exercise moderation in all things. Which brings us to Lent, moderation in all things. What is Lent not for? Lent is not for losing that last 5 stubborn pounds. Lent is not for seeing if you can go without wine for 40 days, unless that is a weakness for you, in which case it might be a good idea. Lent is not for giving up sugar or chocolate just because it's what we have always done. This is what St. Augustine says, commenting on this text. When we enter upon the way of the Lord, let us fast from the vanity of this present life and refresh ourselves with the hope of future life, not focusing our heart on things here, but feasting it on things above. Our Lenten disciplines, rightly understood, ought to help us fast from lesser things, but not for the sake of fasting alone, in order to free ourselves up to feast on things above. Lent should be a time in which we engage in fasting, when we take account of our lives and see those areas that are out of whack. It may not even be a horribly sinful area. You may realize some leisure activity, some random pursuit, is taking up more time in your life than it truly merits. You may realize that you've intended to do things for each of the past years, but haven't seemed to be able to make time in which to do it. We are to refrain from the things that so easily entangle us, the things that distract our allegiance from God, the things that draw us away from greater things. But not for fasting for its own sake. We only have so many thoughts in a day. We only have so much energy. We only have so many resources. And when we fast from the vanity of this present life, we are able to feast on things above. Lent is about fasting and feasting. Fasting from the lesser things so that we may feast on the greater things. To put it in terms of food, you may have often thought of Lent as driving past McDonald's and being hungry for the rest of the day. In fact, it's much more like driving past McDonald's because there is a steak waiting for you on fine china in a great restaurant. It is fasting from the lesser things that don't deserve the attention we give to them, so that we may feast on the greater portion of what God has for each of us. We are called to live our lives as an athlete, running the race in order to obtain the relationship that God has already granted to each of us. We are to live our lives as people of moderation, exercising self-control over all of our faculties and desires. And as we come to this Lent, as we remember what St. Paul has written and we have heard the words of St. Augustine, let us each take account of our own lives, to really think about how we ought to spend the blessed 40 days to prepare for our Lord's glorious resurrection, that we may fast from the vanity of this present life, put off the lesser things, so that we may feast on nothing less than the greatness of what God calls each of us to do. Amen.